This is Cougar Postgame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Cougar Postgame Live is brought to you by Hyundai. There's joy in every journey. Cougar Postgame Live is also brought to you by Big O Tires. Stop by your locally owned and operated Big O Tires, the team you trust. Here's the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell.
Back at War Memorial Stadium, where BYU defeats Wyoming by a final score of 34-14. It's Hyundai Cougar Post Game Live, brought to you by Hyundai. There's joy in every journey. See your Utah Hyundai dealers, proud partner of BYU Athletics. Greg Wrubell, Hans Olsen up in the booth. Mitchell Juergens down on the field. We'll hear from Mitch as he pops the headset on BYU players in moments to come. Let's start our postgame coverage by giving you the identity of tonight's Waystar Star of the Game. It is presented by Waystar, simplifying healthcare payments. Learn more at waystar.com. Hans Olsen, who you like for a Waystar star of the game?
I really like Jake Retzlaff. He just gave you everything you needed in rushing. He gave you everything you needed in passing. Yeah, there were some inaccurate moments, and yeah, there was an interception that was thrown in the end zone that maybe you want that back. It was an underthrow.
Just shy of the end zone.
They
ended up giving Wyoming a field they couldn't work with, ended up punting it back, and then BYU, I think, scored on the ensuing short field, right? The pick was at the one-yard line. Nothing with it. BYU got a short field, did score, but there you go.
It's really close. So there were two other passes that I think that you might want back. There was a screen pass that was a near pick six, and then there was another near interception. Outside of that, I thought Jake Retzlaff navigated the pocket exceptionally well. There were a couple of step-ups, and I'm a big fan of the half-step, the three-quarter step, or the full-step step-up by a quarterback where he avoids the outside speed pressures and he's able to deliver. I thought Jake Retzlaff really managed the pocket well, stepped into it well, and then when he needed to escape and go get some yards, he did that well. So I'm pretty pleased with Retzlaff's performance tonight.
Are you pretty pleased with the fact that this was his single game high for an FBS opponent in pass efficiency?
Okay, so
this was it tonight.
That was pass efficiency then.
Yeah, pass efficiency of 151 tonight.
Oh, great.
That is his career high against an FBS opponent. He was 197.1 against Southern Illinois. But his previous high against FBS was 131.3 against Oklahoma last year in Provo. Tonight, 20 points better than that at 151. That's a big step up and a new FBS high for Jake in pass efficiency.
I feel really good about that. And I feel really good about what Retzlaff just put on the field. Yes, there are some things to clean up. And I'm sure people are upset about certain aspects of it. But you're going to have those moments in a game, and not everything was clean. But I really like his guts. I like his heart. I like the things that he puts out on the field in critical moments. Some of those fourth downs, Greg, comes down to Jake Retzlaff, his vision. That first fourth down conversion to Keanu Hill was spectacular. Takes the hit, delivers the ball on about a 10-15 yard out route that was just on the money. So Retzlaff, your clear and proper winner of that award.
Waystar star of the game is Jake Retzlaff. As we continue with Hyundai Cougar Postgame Live, we'll get to our Metal Mart Steel Man of the Game, our Palmer's Metal Mart Steel Man of the Game. That's coming up next, live from Laramie on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're listening to Cougar Postgame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Now, back to Greg Wrubell.
Hyundai Cougar Postgame Live continues. Let's get to our postgame honorees. Continue our postgame honorees by giving you this evening's Palmer's Metal Mart Steel Man of the Game. Presented by Palmer's Metal Mart, your local metal supplier for over 26 years. BYU 34 and Wyoming 14. Tonight's final score, BYU did not trail in this game. The Cougars took a lead of 7-0, went to 14-0. Cowboys made it 14-7. BYU 17-7 at the break. The Marion kickoff return to open the second half made it 24-7. Lead went to 27, then 34-7. And the Pokes score the final score to make it 34-14. As for the steel man of the game, sometimes you think steel man, you think tough, strong, you look for a defensive player. But there was an offensive player that showed plenty of steel tonight. And you like Chase Roberts.
Chase Roberts was great. And the reason you go steel man for Chase, those two receptions where he turns his back to the defender, completely faces the ball, and finds a way to come down with it and puts you in scoring position with two deep ball grabs that were spectacular. One of them was off of, I believe it was a pitchback. It was a flea flicker.
It was with Pokai.
Uh-huh. And
it was Retzlaff to Pokai. Pokai double throw back to Jake, and then he found Chase downfield, and Chase had to leap in the air, fall on his back, and hang onto the football.
It was a really tough catch, and I actually love that play. That route came off of a bunch formation off the right side. Chase Roberts, he essentially ran from the numbers on one side about 35 yards down the field to the numbers on the other side to come down with that ball. It's a long developing play, but it worked out. And I don't know how many receivers actually come down with that ball. I don't know how many receivers come down with either one of those catches. That catch he had in the first half that put him in scoring position going to the south end zone was equally as impressive. He caught that, and he was able to tap a foot in before his hip hit the ground out of bounds. So Chase Roberts, to me, this is one of my favorite performances I've seen from him in a game.
6 for 129, too shy of a single-game high for him. 8 targets for those 6 catches. Still looking for his first touchdown of the year. Hasn't come yet. A long of 30 tonight. He had 27 yak yards, which led BYU as well. Yak yards after catch. Jake Retzlaff's favorite target in games 1 and 3 has been Chase Roberts. Jake tonight, 22 for 36, 291, 3 touchdowns and a pick, 61% completion rate, and that 151 pass efficiency rating. So the two postgame honorees, the star of the game by Waystar and the steel man of the game from Palmer's Metal Mark, go to Jake Retzlaff and Chase Roberts.
Hey, Greg, did you see Keanu Hill come back in after that target?
Did not.
Yeah, that's a worry of mine. Keanu had his helmet kind of turned sideways. He took a shoulder to the head while he was a defenseless receiver. He got hit pretty good.
Threw two flags, didn't he?
Yeah, threw two flags. Yeah, there was a PI that actually drew his attention that I think took his attention away from the defender that was dropping the shoulder and gave him less of a chance to defend himself, actually. And that shot landed square. They did eject that player, but he took a pretty nasty shot to the head. I'm hoping that Keanu Hill's okay. But Chase Roberts, I just am impressed by him, his character, his leadership, everything that he does for this team. And we talked about this last week in the postgame. Coming out of that SMU game, we talked about it. The playmakers on this offense were not getting the ball enough. But we see Chase Roberts get the ball early and often. We get Darius Lassiter gets 3 catches. JoJo Phillips has 2 catches. Parker Kingston back in action. He gets a couple of catches. So it was good to see them getting the ball out to those playmakers. Because remember, the receivers were kind of the depth. That was the position group that I felt the best about offensively coming into the season was these receivers. So let's see them. Catches in bunches. That's what I want to see.
We'll take a break. That's Hans Olsen. I'm Greg Wrubell. We'll hit the field level soon. When the BYU players emerge from the locker room, they defeat the Cougars, the Wyoming Cowboys, 34-14. Your final here at War Memorial Stadium in Laramie on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
For more Cougar postgame live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
BYU 34, Wyoming 14, our final score. BYU fans, remember, when the Cougars win, you win with Papa John's Pizza. Use the online promo code BYU50 on the app or at papajohns.com Monday and receive 50% off pizza. This offer good at any Utah location, but Monday only. Down the field level, the BYU players out of the locker room. It's our pleasure to have on the headset for the first time this season. I think the first time ever. Evan Johnson, corner Evan Johnson joining us. Evan, Greg, and Hans upstairs, great to have you on. Congrats to you and the guys.
Appreciate it. Good win.
Good win, really good win. BYU got one takeaway tonight, and it comes on your interception. You want to run us through that play?
Shoot, I seen the speed release. We were in man, just seen the speed release, and we talked about that all week. You see the speed release, the most likely throwing a fade. So I just kind of knew that was coming, so I just trusted my speed that guy gave me and went up and made a play for the ball. And shoot, felt so good to get that play finally because I've been talking about it for so long with Coach G and Rob and all the DBs.
Well, I'm going to call for you to go a two-way. I want you to be a receiver. After seeing those sticky fingers, Evan, I mean, why are we just playing corner? Why don't we get you out on the offense?
Shoot, throw me a receiver, too. I can catch some balls.
we'll get you running over on the offensive side of things. Hey, but coming down with that ball, I mean, you hit hard. Did you feel like that thing was absolutely secured?
Oh, yeah. There's no way I was dropping that, especially on my first chance for my first pick. Oh, yeah. There was not a doubt in my mind that I was coming down with that ball, which is funny, though, because Tommy Prass was right there with me, and he was the one trying to rip the ball from me, not even the Wyoming receiver. So
your own guy.
Yeah, but, hey, it just felt great to make that play, and I just knew in that moment that there was no way I was dropping that ball.
What was the general scout going to be on Wyoming's offense this week coming into the weekend, Evan?
That was a lot of heavy run. We kind of knew that, and we knew if we stopped the run that that's when we – our DBs would get the opportunities to go make plays for the picks. And then we knew kind of third and five plus that it was going to be a lot of pass. So we had a lot of prepare for that a lot. And then just the play calls that Coach Hill was calling just set us all up for success.
So, Evan, it's got to be tough to get on the field right now. This corner position is stacked. And Greg and I have been extremely impressed with the early start of the season and how these corners are handling receivers. Just talk about the corner room with Jacob and Isaac Abe on the field, and, of course, Mark Collins is doing great things. How impressed are you with this corner room?
I mean, I've kind of known what our corner room has, and, you know, we've been working all summer just to really go out there and make those plays. I mean, Jacob has been a great leader for us along with Mark. But, like, also having those other guys like Chica back there who's been in the playbook for a year now, and then Trey and Jonathan coming in and just being polished how they came in, knowing they're ready to go at any time. I mean, it's just a big step.
Last two things for you here, Evan. First of all, BYU hadn't played here in 15 years, but you got a sense of how much this fan base gets up for a BYU game. So that's first thing to you. Could you feel it on the field, the Wyoming BYU vibe? And then how about going home to face a 3-0 K-State team?
Yeah, I definitely felt the vibe. A lot of hostility, but, I mean, that's what makes these games fun, you know, getting those opportunities to really – quiet, silence the crowd, and just go make plays is the most fun. And then K-State, I mean, we're always ready to play whoever. So it doesn't matter if they're number one in the country, number five in the country, whatever they are, we're ready to go out and make plays. So I don't think we're really worried. Game plan the same way we always do, prepare well, and just go make plays out there.
Looking forward to nationally ranked K-State facing you guys on a late Saturday night at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. The place will be hopping. Look forward to seeing you and the guys out there. Evan, thanks for the time tonight. Congrats again to you. You were saying off the air, first of many, right? First of many picks.
First of many. Great.
Let's go. Thank you, Evan.
Yep. Proud of you, Evan.
Appreciate you. All right, Evan Johnson. More from the BYU players after this. Hyundai Cougar Post Game Live continues from Laramie on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
It's any card for the win right now at Mountain America Credit Union, which means it's time to score some cash, up to $500. Simply use any Mountain America debit or credit card now until September 30th, 2024, to be entered into a weekly giveaway for up to $500. Visit macu.com/anycard for official rules or to apply for your Mountain America card. Loans on approved credit. Membership required based on eligibility. Offer can change or be withdrawn at any time.
When it comes to radio, connection is one of Lisa Valentine Clark's favorite things.
I've tried really hard to have connecting kind of conversations, to talk about the things that we know are on everyone's mind but are sometimes difficult to talk about. And so when people are vulnerable and give real examples about, hey, this is hard for me, it always gives me ideas about how to better connect with people, how to better love other people.
Connect with Lisa on The Lisa Show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Alongside Hans Olsen, here's the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, with more Cougar Postgame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
34-14, BYU over Wyoming here at War Memorial Stadium in Laramie. Head down to field level, and Keelan Marion joining us
after this big win.
Good, really good, Keelan. Hey, did you ever have one of these, a kickoff return for a touchdown at UConn?
No, sir. No, sir, just first one.
First one, sir. For your career?
Yes, sir.
All right, Kelly Papinga has been talking about ending this streak for BYU. It had been 10 years since a house call on a kickoff return. Did Coach Papinga ever talk about the fact that, like, this is our year or this has to happen or we got to get one of these times?
Yes, sir. Every day in practice, you know, since even from last year, Coach Pop always just tell me, you know, we got to do it. It's been 10 years. We got to do it. You know, the one from West Virginia got called back because of a holding. So today – I was kind of beat up on the first one in the first half. I read the return wrong, So I was kind of beat up on myself about it. When I got to the locker room, I was talking to Coach Kalani. He looked me in the face and said, Kiki, just trust it and hit it. And so I was still beat up on myself. When I came out, the guys gave me the motivation and the courage to trust them and hit it. And that's what we did. So shout out to my kick return team.
I'm glad you said that because I was up here going, I'm pretty sure at Morgantown he had one that was called back, and that was the case, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, that was fantastic. Now, here's the thing. You got to end the first half by scoring points, essentially, and then you got to begin the second half by scoring points. You own that middle part of the game. That's such a huge part of any game. I thought once that kickoff return for touchdown happened, it kind of felt like, okay, you might have these guys down for the count. How about you?
Yes, sir. I kind of felt the same way. I know we came out with a different type of juice than we came out in the first half. So coach came in there, told us bring juice. Make sure you bring everybody bring their own juice, and everybody do they want 11. So I think the guys came out like ready to roll.
So Keelan, just going back to that kick return for a touchdown, because we just don't see it often. I mean, that's just an incredible thing. So am I mistaken? Was that Koa Eldridge that popped that block open for you just to the right side of you? And when you're coming through the gap and you're seeing these blockers, are you reading their angles and trying to file off of that block?
Yes, sir. Everything happened so fast, so I'm not sure if it was Sione Moore or Koa. It happened so fast, but I am reading those guys' angle. I know we were doing a break return, and a guy that shot the lane on Wyoming kind of try to beat me to the outside, so that just gave me the mind just to stick it up the middle and do what I can do with it.
What did you expect from Wyoming coming into tonight? They're an 0-2 team, but they've got some pride. What did you expect from them defensively, let's say?
I knew they were going to try to be more physical than we could be. That they was going to try to get in our head, talk trash. The student section was talking trash when we were on their sideline. Their sideline talking trash. So it was a very hostile environment. But like I like competing in this type of environment. I think it makes the team better.
Hey, Keelan, let's talk about third downs a little bit. I know that you guys have had a couple of issues with third downs and getting some of that momentum. Is that something that you talk about in the huddles or in meetings, just those third down conversions and percentages?
Yeah, so you know, after every week, every game, we go into the team meeting on Monday, and we always got a percentage of how we did on each down, second and long, third and long, fourth down, all the conversions. And the game that is low, that's when we have to come back to practice. You know, we put in the extra time with the third down periods and just try to be more clean in those situations.
Keelan, your first 2 years at BYU here, you've been 3-0 both years, which is great.
Yes, sir.
Does this year's 3-0 feel any different or more sustainable than last year's 3-0? Can you compare the feeling or the vibe to the start of last year, the start of this year? Are you guys, do you feel like you're maybe better in for the long haul? Any thoughts on that?
Yes, sir. Yes, I definitely think we're in for the long haul. I know a different type of guys. You know, guys like Evan Johnson, guys have a different pep in their step this season. You know, some of those guys, then, you know, you had Eddie Heckert and Cam Garrett over last year, also with Jacob. And, you know, for Evan to step up, you know, he has a different type of pep in his step. And that's one guy I really want to shout out on defense is Evan Johnson.
We got to speak with Evan a minute ago with his first career pick. That was a massive moment tonight. Hey, Keelan, it was a pleasure calling your kickoff return touchdown tonight and everything you're doing on the field. We enjoy having you on the team, getting to call your plays, and congrats on the win tonight.
Great job.
Thank you, sir. Thank you guys for having me. Go Cougs. Love you, baby.
All right, that's Keelan Marion. We'll come back with Chase Roberts on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Game live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Now, back to Greg Wrubell.
Tonight's Palmer's Metal Mart Steel Man of the Game is Chase Roberts. 6 catches on 8 targets for 129 yards tonight. And Chase has popped on the headset and is joining us from field level here in Laramie. BYU 34, Wyoming 14 is our final score. Chase, good to have you on again.
Awesome to be here.
We said after your first 100-yard game of the year that you've had one each season as a BYU player, but feel free to get more. So we're glad we got your second one out of the way this year.
There we go.
Yeah, 131 or 129 was your final number tonight. But regardless of the numbers, the most important thing, of course, is the W.
Of course.
And 3-0. How does 3-0 feel tonight?
It feels awesome. And just this team that we have, I'm just so excited for the rest of the season. You know, we started 3-0 last year, but this is a different 3-0. And just excited to get into the Big 12 play.
Hey, Chase, does Aaron Roderick have some touchdown scoring routes drawn up for you?
I hope so. I want to get in the end zone. No, I'm just trying to make the catches that come to me and let the other guys finish it off and just get the win. That's the biggest thing. So happy for all the guys.
Okay, something you said a minute ago. Why, to you, is it a different 3-0 from 2023?
This offseason was just phenomenal. I mean, you've seen it on the field. This year with, you know, when defense steps up, in times that we need them. Offense steps up when we need them. And we just love each other. We know, we trust each other that we're going to do what we need to do to win a game. And I think when it comes to especially Big 12 play, when we play these teams, they're going to be some hard-fought games, one-score games. And we're just going to look to the guy next to each other and know that we've got each other's back and we're going to pull out the win. So I don't know if we had that strong of a feeling last year going into close games, but this year we for sure do.
All right, Chase, let's talk some Jake Retzlaff here. 291 yards through the air,
yeah.
Three touchdowns. Where is his level of confidence, and where is your level of confidence in him right now?
Oh, we know Jake can make any throw. He can make any play, and his confidence is just going up every single day. Obviously, last game with ball security and things like that, he was getting a little down, but we knew he would bounce back and play the way he did today. And he's phenomenal. He bounced back at practice last week. Last week's practice was just amazing. And we knew we were going to come in and sling it. And he made some amazing throws. So proud of him and excited for the rest of the season. And we're very confident that he can make any throw and win some games.
We know you're going to get into the end zone at some point this season, but it had been almost 2 years since Cody Epps had found the end zone. I was happy for Cody to get that catch and get in for six, and he made a really nice play, too, to keep his hand on the ground and stay alive. Nice play by Cody there.
Yeah, I was happy for him. He deserved that, and he's been working really hard and making a lot of good plays. So touchdown, Cody. We love it.
Okay, so, Chase, as we go back to the drawing board and you get ready for Kansas State,
yeah.
What is Fessy Satake going to be saying in meetings after this game in preparation for Kansas State?
I think the biggest emphasis is obviously these corners are going to be stronger, faster, a little bit longer, but just to win the matchups and to be the dogs that we know we are. And I think he trusts us a lot. Jake trusts us to go up and make the plays, and I think we showed that today. And I don't think we're going to take that away when it comes to Kansas State. They're going to play some man one-on-ones and trust their corners. They think they can, you know, take us on the outside one-on-one. So we're going to have that same mentality and take it at them, as well as mix it up in the run game and just, you know, make their life heck, you know.
I appreciate the censoring right there. You know, one thing that's been really evident watching the receiver groups, we don't see the formation issues. We don't see some of the formation confusions, the uncovered receiver, all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
It feels like you guys are more where you're supposed to be. What is the result of that? Why is that happening?
I think the emphasis in practice of just being on top of everything, Darius and Keelan being back for their second year and Parker and JoJo being in the system for a couple years, we have guys that are just locked in. And then also the two younger guys that come in with Cody Hagan and Tay Nakua, they're locked in. And they've been really asking all the questions when it comes to meetings, and we're dialed in and know what we're doing on every play. And it's showing. And I think it's just – with all the off-season bonding and things that we did in the off-season, we just want to play the best that we can for each other, and that goes into our personal, you know, studies and making sure that we're where we're at every play because we want to win. So,
Chase, nobody in their right mind would take three steps up a ladder and then launch themselves off of it backwards to land on their back. But that's basically what you did tonight, yeah. In coming up with a catch off a beautiful double throw design that Pokai was involved with. Can you talk us through that 30-yard reception that I don't know how you hung on to the football, because you hit the ground so hard flat on your back. And first of all, really cool play, but maybe when the ball's in the air, and take us through the aftermath. How about
yeah.
that?
So we thought that the corner would kind of stay on the outside and bite on the run to the right.
With Pokai,
yeah. But he was locked on me. He was holding me, grabbing me. And I tried to fake it, but still just tried to outrun him. And it was man-to-man. And Jake threw an amazing ball. And I just pride myself in coming up with those catches. So whatever I can do to make a play, I'm going to lay my body out. I'm going to, you know, do whatever I can to come down with the ball. And it was just a great throw by Jake. And I'll definitely be feeling it tomorrow, but glad we could make the play.
I guess the first thing there is, okay, I made the catch, the
yeah.
ball stayed, and then secondly, is everything where it's supposed to be? You're kind of checking things a little bit, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you felt all right, though. You were able to get up.
Right.
And
yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was amazing. Incredible catch.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Chase, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the holding situation. I know you got a holding call thrown on you, multiple on the offensive line. There's actually a hole through the window up here in the booth because I chucked my computer through it when they called it the holding on Tase.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pancake. That's not a hole.
Yeah, I don't know.
And there was another hold on Paulo off of a seal block where Paulo overstepped the seal block.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely beautiful block. What were you seeing on the field from these officials and their holding calls?
I don't know. I mean, we just try to play as clean and as physical as we can. And sometimes the refs are a little picky, and that's how it was today, especially at the end of the game. We just got to keep our cool, keep playing. And, you know, we came out with the win. So we'll go back and learn and get in front of the guys better and stop holding. I mean, they called it, so we got to learn how to do it better. And I got to take a flatter angle, get in front of them, instead of getting in a bad position that it looks like holding. So,
last thing, Chase, your first Laramie experience, how would you rate it?
I thought it was fun. I thought it was awesome. Everyone's talking about how boring and ugly, like, the scenery. I thought it was super pretty, the drive down here. And then the stadium was awesome. This campus is amazing. So, A+, I thought.
Pretty cool environment.
Yeah, I thought it was
BYU
awesome.
BYU comes to town. Well, awesome. And you came at the right time of year because, like Han said, right, November's a different deal.
Yeah, it felt perfect.
Wow. All right, well, we hope you have a safe flight back and feel okay in the morning. And we're so excited for next week against Kansas State at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Should be a wild night.
That's right.
Go get them.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Chase.
Will. Okay, see you guys.
Appreciate you. Chase Roberts joining us. We'll come back with more coverage from Laramie, Wyoming, as Hyundai Cougar Postgame Live continues. Greg and Hans and Mitch with you on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Alongside Hans Olsen, here's the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, with more Cougar Postgame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
BYU 34, Wyoming 14. Final score tonight here in Laramie. Cougs go to 3-0 for the second straight year. Wyoming drops to 0-3 next up. In fact, the rest of the way, Big 12 play for the Cougs. All right, back here in Laramie. If our timing works out, hope to pop the headset on Jake Retzloff and get a few words with the Cougars starting quarterback tonight. He was our Waystar star of the game. We just heard from our Palmer's Metal Mart steel man of the game, Chase Roberts. You've heard from, Evan Johnson, Keelan Marion, Chase Roberts. And we hope to hear from Jake Retzloff in a moment. Good conversations with all those guys. Hans, just some reflections on what you heard from the guys here postgame.
Well, I did want to mention this. I think Chase Roberts is a next-level quarterback. Next-level receiver. So his length, his speed, his understanding of zone to man, the way that the routes adjust off of that, I wish I could go back and just draw it up for the listeners so that they can kind of see what Chase Roberts does when he recognizes zone and the way he'll fit into those notches, or the way he recognizes man and he'll get over the top, and he's able to battle for those balls over man defense and come down with them. It's not like these were two random receptions that we haven't seen in the past. We've seen crazy receptions from him that are reminiscent of this, going back to Arkansas last year and other games. So he takes the ball away from defenders. He can high point it. He's got the strength to separate. I do think he's a next level receiver.
Drops are rare.
Drops are really rare. He's got great hands. And you're going to have a guy like him against the Kansas State. You've got to have a guy because Kansas State's going to have better corners, and it's going to be big-time matchups. So you need Chase Roberts to go get it done. So
he's targeted twice tonight, targeted eight times, two incompletions. One was a throw behind him. I don't remember the second incompletion, but I do know that coming in two tonight, he'd been targeted 13 times for nine completions. The ones that didn't get to him were three errant passes and one pass breakup.
Well, the one that maybe you're talking about, it was the one that was 3 yards to the inside of him. It was about an eight-yard stop. Remember, he was just sitting there like a catcher taking a pitch, and Jake was moving to his right and threw back to the inside. It was about a three-yard miss to the inside. But Chase was wide open. He was sitting right in a perfect zone set, and that should have been a reception.
But again, no drops tonight.
No drops from Chase.
And no drops on the season for Chase Roberts. I thought Evan Johnson had a really good personality.
I loved Evan, and I loved Keelan. Them both of them talking about their environments and coming into Wyoming, that had me cracking up. But Evan Johnson has found a real home on the outside in man coverage. You know, you think about the difficulty of man coverage. Man coverage is an extreme art, and it takes a unique, speedy athlete, and it takes incredible measure. You got to know how fast your body can go, and you got to know how fast that receiver is you're matched up against, just to know how much you can look and how much you have to stick with that receiver.
Is not one of the stories of the season so far the play of the BYU secondary?
Yeah, it is to me. I was just talking about my faith in the receiving corps. That was the group that I felt like I could hang my hat on coming into the season, was the receivers. Now I'm starting to feel like I can hang my hat on these corners. You didn't hear a lot from Jacob Robinson tonight because Jacob was just shutting it down. They weren't even trying to target out to Jacob. Jacob nearly had one interception, nearly came up with it. But they just didn't throw at Jacob because he's pressing so well. And I like to see that those quick slants are shut down too, because the quick slants were a problem from last year, and it feels like these corners have really improved on those. But let's just say it. Let's say it the way it is. Competition's about to take a huge step up. Receivers got a little more speed. They can separate a little bit more. So now we get to see this corner room step up with it.
Another area of improvement for BYU has to have been on the offensive line. Jake Retzlaff plays behind that O-line. Jake popping on the headset down at field level right now. No sacks allowed by BYU tonight. Kalani's teams are now 23-4 when they don't allow a sack. And then Jake was at a real good feel for things for tonight, taking off to the tune of 62 rushing yards. Jake is on the headset. Jake, Greg and Hans upstairs, how are you?
What's up, guys? I'm doing good. I wish I had a little more yards on that last run. I don't know where those holding calls came from.
40 yards.
Must have been Casper. So.
You would have had a 100-yard night, Jake.
40 yards.
It would have been 100-yard. That would have been super fun.
I got to tell you, though, Jake. I do not like those holding calls. You go back and you watch Tase just pancake the guy. Oh, yeah. And the hold down in the middle, I don't think that that was right either. No. So I think that they just didn't like the fact you were going to go over 100 yards rushing.
That must have been the case or something. I don't know. In Wyoming, there's a lot of supernatural things going on here. So I don't know if there's Casper or something going on. But, it was calls that we might not agree with. But we got back up and played the next play, and I was proud of the guys for that.
You guys just got to 3-0 off of back-to-back away wins. Well done.
Thank you. That's a big deal. I'm proud of it.
Yeah, no joke going on the road back-to-back times in the non-conference and to be perfect heading into Big 12 play, I think deserves a lot of respect. What did you expect from Wyoming coming into tonight, and what did they show you compared to what you prepared for?
Tough and physical, you know. That's Wyoming brand right there in a nutshell. It's tough and physical, and those guys are going to play you tough all the way to the end of the game, which they did. You saw them, their offense drive down late in the field and try to put up points. And so I was super proud of our guys for matching that physicality and superseding it and going over that physicality. They showed a lot of man on film and ran a bunch of zone in the first half, and so we had to adjust to that a little bit. And once we got adjusted to it, we started to move the ball really well.
So, Jake, you were the leading rusher as well tonight by nearly 30 yards. And I talk about the running back situation. You've got a couple of injured running backs, your number one and number two backs, and trying to figure that out now going into Big 12 play. Talk to me a little bit about the run game. How much do you feel like you can shoulder and take and put on yourself, and how much do you feel like you need some of these young guys to step up and start carrying the ball?
I'm going to run it as much as I'm asked to run it, no doubt. At the end of the game, Coach called my number on that big run that we were just talking about, and I was like, let's go do it. I love that play call. It was a great call, and it was a great play. But, yeah, I mean, the young guys did a good job running the ball, too, especially late in the game. I think they popped a few, did a good job. Those young guys, I mean, those freshmen out there, Pokai and Shione Moa, those guys are just tough physical runners. I believe in all of our backs in our room. Those guys can all run the ball really, really well. Falau, this one-week deal, hopefully, he's going to get back and be stronger than ever. He's having a kid this weekend, so I'm going to call him as soon as I can, mm-hmm. hopefully make sure that kid doesn't come until tomorrow or something mm-hmm. like that, so I can get down there and support him with that. But, you know, those two backs are tough dudes at the top of the list, but the guys behind them know how to step up and just play physical. Those guys run really hard. Miles did a great job running hard tonight. And, you know, they might not have had a lot of yards at the end of the day, but how many times did I get to pull the ball and run for a lot of yards because those guys drew the entire defense in on the opposite side?
Yep.
You brought up Pokai, and how about putting the trust in a freshman for kind of a special play with the double throw that you found Chase downfield for 30?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of had tryouts for that in practice, and he won the job. So he got to go out there and do it. It was a good job. He didn't let the moment get too big. He didn't let the lights shine too bright. But
it's got to be a good throwback to you, right? You got to have something to work with.
Yeah, it was a great throwback. Really good. I had something to work with, and then I threw the ball deep downfield to Chase. Really good job. And if you know Polk Guy, he's the goofiest dude on this team. He's a fun lover. He's always doing something random. He's got a vlog camera with him on every road trip, on everything we do. It's so fun. So I'm not surprised that he could go out there and do it when his number was called. He did a great job there, and he also did a great job running the ball late.
And you're also not surprised that Chase Roberts comes down with a football when you throw it up to him.
No, I'm not surprised at that at all.
Yeah, that's becoming more and more common. Jake, let's go into that one interception that you threw, a little bit of an underthrow towards that north end zone. Walk us through what you saw and what you would do differently.
Just get the ball over top to Cody. Cody is a great catcher over the shoulder. So if I get that ball over the shoulder, Cody's going to catch a touchdown, and we're going to be dancing and celebrating. It'll be a different story. But I'm going to give props to that DB. It was a heck of a play. He got his eyes back in man coverage. It's really hard to get your eyes back on a play like that. And he did a really good job of opening hips, get the head back, and go up for the ball. It wasn't really 50-50. The DB made a great play on that play.
Three guys, I think, get into the end zone for the first time this year on touchdown passes from you. Kebo on a really good play design. Cody with his hand on the ground, staying upright and alert. And then Darius with a nice find at the goal line. Good to see everybody getting involved tonight.
Oh, yeah, everybody did. I don't know how many receivers we had on the night, but we had a lot. It's always good. It's just how do you break down our team? You might think that Chase got a little bit of the extra load. But other than that, I mean, we got guys who can do it at any point in the game. Even Swanson got a catch in there late and made a great play from Gary. And so I just love how we have so many guys willing to do it at any moment. Kebo's touchdown was so great. It was so set up, so awesome because, you know, Tava had all the attention. Tava with two touchdowns the last 2 weeks. I'm sorry to end his streak this week. But Kebo did a great job being super patient on that play. It was a great play design that we had and did a great job executing it. And Miles, got to shout out Miles because he ran the corner into the or linebacker who was manning him into the end zone so Kebo could walk in the end zone there. It was nice to see. Darius should have had two touchdowns. I missed him on the fade late in the half, first half, but did a good job getting in there. It was super nice to get him on that. That was one of those plays where we picked up a blitz, and I stepped up in the pocket and delivered the ball to Darius, who ran a great route and was open, and shout out to the O-line. I mean, they did a great job tonight.
I love how you share the credit. By the way, we have the number up here, but you take a guess. How many BYU players caught passes tonight?
12 sounds high.
12's good. 12's on the number.
Wow.
12 is good. That's what it was tonight, including Cody Hagan, too. So, yeah, 12 different receivers tonight. Tremendous. And I opened up by talking about the fact no sacks tonight. And I think it's 3 sacks in 3 games now is all that BYU's allowed. How important is that number to you?
Really important. Sacks can be drive killers. You ask a defensive guy and they need sacks because that kills the drive. You put you in second and long, third and long. Not a good place to be, especially when you're behind the sticks. So, I take pride in that. I take pride in no sacks. And those O-linemen did a great job tonight preventing them. And 3 in 3 games is a good number. I think we can do even better.
And shout out to the right guard, Austin Leusa, with his first start tonight, too.
Yeah, awesome dude, awesome guy, awesome wife, awesome kids. Love that guy. Proud of him.
So, Jake, Gary Bohannon gets out on the field for some cleanup duty, and he goes 3 of 3 for 27 yards. As you mentioned, he found a couple of different targets. What's that interaction like? What are you saying to him as he's coming on? What's he saying to you as he's coming onto the field? And how do you feel about Gary's performance tonight?
Really funny because I think it was at the 2-minute warning. His first throw was he like sprint out or Nancy naked fake, and he threw a nice ball to Reiner and he took a hit there. And I was like, "When's the last time you took a hit?" And he said, "I think 2008." Really funny, awesome to see that guy do what he does. He's a great quarterback. I told him when he was going out there, I said, "Go sling it, baby. Go sling the rock around the yard and have fun doing it."
Awesome stuff. Jake, always good speaking with you. Congrats on getting to 3-0. Congrats on the win. By the way, your 151 pass efficiency rating tonight is a new high for you against an FBS opponent. Really well earned in every way. And have a good one next week against K-State. That should be a lot of fun on a late Saturday night in Provo.
It's going to be really late.
Thanks, have a guys. Really good game. Thank you, Jake.
Appreciate you.
Stay after him, Jake.
All right, Kalani Sitake next here on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Coach's Show, brought to you by BYU Creamery, serving sweet memories for 75 years. The Cougar Postgame Coach's Show is also brought to you by Ryan Valuation, formerly Econ Partners, a national leader in business valuation. Learn more at ryanvaluation.com. Let's rejoin the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell.
Welcome back to War Memorial Stadium, Laramie, Wyoming, where BYU tonight defeats the Wyoming Cowboys. Final score 34-14, officially 24,513 in the stands on a beautiful night for football. Beautiful time of the year to be on the High Plains. Kalani Sitake, BYU head coach, joining us now from field level. Coach Kalani, congratulations on getting to 3-0 for a second time in a second year in a row and a fourth time in the last five seasons.
Thank you. I mean, the guys worked hard, and glad we were able to come out with the win. Not perfect, but a lot of things that we improved on from last week to now. And I'm excited about the trajectory of this team. I'm excited about the improvement we're going to make from week three to week four, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And Laramie's beautiful in September.
It is.
I don't mind it at all. This is nice.
It really is nice in September.
Yeah.
What do you like most about tonight's win?
I like that all three phases were clicking, and it didn't go perfect for all three phases, but I like that they had an impact in the game, you know, and the return, obviously, the field goals. I think the punts, we had one bad punt that like, I think was a shank, but other than that, the cover on our cover teams were really nice. I mean, they had a very athletic returner on punt return, and we were able to kind of, you know, corral him and not even have him be a factor. And I'm glad that we were able to overcome some. I think we had the early interception and some adversity. I mean, that it was good for Jake to go through that and then redeem himself and be better and make some really accurate throws. I was really pleased with him.
Well, Kalani, I'm seeing a lot of things starting to form and shape that I absolutely love. Last year, watching run defense at times got frustrating, giving up over 180 yards a game. And this year, out of the gates, you know, you take off Svoboda, the quarterback's rushing yards. You got 50 yards from these running backs, and you did hold them all together overall, 77 yards rushing on the ground. It just feels like this rushing defense is starting to really solidify, and you know going into Big 12 play, you're going to see some big-time running backs. What have you done? What adjustments have you made to get this type of run-stop defense going, and how good do you feel with it being able to hold up against the Big 12?
Well, I think it's a combination of a bunch of factors that go into it. One is that the guys are more comfortable in the system. It's not an easy system to learn, and so year one was we were really trying to get it going. But it was in order for all of it to complement each other, it's a big playbook. And so the guys, it took some time, they got it, and you're starting to see them trust it also, and then them trust each other. And then another factor is that the D-line is a lot more physical, you know, and so that'll help in any defense. And so there are a lot of moments where it's only a three-man rush, and they were making getting knocked back, and there's a lot of moments where the D-line was just in the backfield, and that helps us a lot. Now, obviously, the competition is going to get better and tougher, but these guys will fight, and they'll give everything they got. And when they can do that and they understand if you look at it, that last drive, I was really frustrated because that's like half the yards that we gave up was on that one drive.
And, yeah, it was.
And we were trying to get the offense out there. We want to get some reps for some of our guys. But the defense, it's valuable reps. It doesn't look good on the stats, but we're sacrificing the stats for some development and some experience. And so it's good film, even though it's frustrating, but it was a little bit sloppy, guys not doing all their assignments. I'd rather learn that lesson now than learn it in real time. And then giving these guys some valuable experience and getting on the field and playing against Wyoming was using their ones. Their starting quarterback was in there. And so just really valuable stuff for our team, and we'll grow and get better from it.
Nine penalties tonight, more than you had in the first two games combined. But I know Hans in particular wasn't necessarily a fan of how the penalties were called or the kind of penalties or what they were looking for. Your thoughts on that tonight?
Yeah, I watched the film. But, I mean, it is what it is. The refs try to call it how they see it, and we just have to do better. I mean, it's hard when you have to get used to certain crews and the way they call the games. But we just, you know, we try to get as much information as we can from the refs about what they saw and then try to correct it. And that's with PIs and all those things. And, yeah, it wasn't as clean as I want it to be because I want us to be more disciplined. But I think it's worth the learning experience for our guys. You know, I thought it was good moments for us. And I hate saying that when you're, you know, to concede the fact that, yeah, we didn't play. It was a little sloppy, but it was good for us. I'm thinking of the long run here. I'm thinking about the you know, conference play and all that stuff and how it could be valuable for us.
Jake Retzlaff tonight, coach, 291 yards passing, three touchdowns. pass efficiency rating of 151 for him, which is excellent. And then he ran six times for 62 yards and would have gone under over 100, but for a play that was called back. I thought he was excellent tonight.
Yeah, and I thought what I love is he took care of the football. So, you know, when we ran him the first two games, I think he had the ball on the ground one time in each game, you know. So it's like, and I think, though, Southern Illinois, we recovered that one, the one against SMU, they got it. So I like that he was better with the ball security in terms of the fumbling, but and I like that he picked his moments. I thought he had great footwork in the pocket. I thought he avoided some pressure. It's like all the stuff that it was just looking really nice. It looked like he was in rhythm and he was getting some throws. And then it also looked like he was going off target and getting off, you know, running and throwing the ball. And there's some that I know he had back again. And so there's room for him to even improve and get better. And I can't wait to work on that this week and be excited to be in Lavelle Edwards Stadium again.
So Kalani, Chase Roberts, I think, is one of the best BYU wide receivers I've watched play. I think his physicality, his size, just incredible. And he's able to pull down 130 yards tonight. We saw Darius Lassiter with three catches. He had a nice touchdown. You got JoJo Phillips, who had a couple for 22. And, you know, we came out of that SMU game saying, man, did they get it to their stars enough? Did they get it to their playmakers enough? Was that an emphasis coming into this game against Wyoming? Because it felt like it was early to Chase Roberts, and then it got going often.
Yeah, we have a lot of weapons on our team, and offensively, we have guys that can do so many different things. And so, and as long as Jake's and whoever the quarterback is just doing it within our system, we're going to be really good. And sometimes Chase is going to get most of the catches. Sometimes others will catch it. It's just we have to just kind of play. I look at how Wyoming is trying to play us. They're taking away the run game,
yeah,
loading the box, and trying to do a lot of movement up front. And we were, in some ways, we were just trying to ram the ball in there and just trying to force it, which I don't mind sometimes, Hans. You know, sometimes you just have to show
Absolutely.
That you can be physically dominant.
Got to give that to your O-line.
Yeah, the problem was that we weren't making the yards, but the yards started to see it at the end, towards the end of the game, where guys were breaking tackles and going through. I'd like to see that show up a lot earlier. You know what I mean? And that's an entire offensive. I mean, the run game depends on everybody doing their job, and so I think we can get that even cleaner and get it going a lot earlier. But man, the guys play tough, and sometimes if they're going to let us throw the ball, then that's what we got to do.
Kalani and the Cougs go to 3-0. 34-14 is our final. We'll come back after this with more from the Cougar head coach. As we go to break, we'll tell you that coming up after the break is the Ryan Valuation Valuable Stat of the Game. Whether for tax, financial reporting, or strategic purposes, when your business needs a valuation, use Ryan Valuation, formerly Econ Partners. Learn more at ryanvaluation.com. More with the coach next on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're listening to the Cougar Postgame Coaches Show on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Now, back to Hans Olsen and the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell.
BYU opened the scoring and would take a 14-0 lead before the Pokes scored. BYU outscores Wyoming 34-14 for the final. BYU's now won eight straight games when scoring first. The Cougs defeat Wyoming for the 10th consecutive time. Here's the Ryan Valuation Valuable Stat of the Game. We've talked about it. We'll talk about it with Kalani now. Zero sacks allowed tonight by BYU, Kalani, and that makes only three sacks given up in three games. Your thought on a sack-free game by Wyoming?
Yeah, that's awesome for us. I mean, I look at how many times we threw the ball, too. So, and a lot of it was, I think, just a great setup, and then we had the quarterback be able to scramble when we needed it. And, things are starting to really click. If we can get this rhythm and keep the momentum going, I think we can do some really fun things with this offense.
Talk about Caleb Etienne and his improvement and his evolution as a player and what you're seeing from him this year, Kalani.
There's NFL scouts that come to practice every day to see all our guys, and he's one of the main targets. And you can see how the difference that it's made. I have to give a lot of credit to Connor Pay and Keim and all the other guys that have brought him along. There's a really cool culture. Hans, you know how this is when you're playing up on the line of scrimmage. those guys just they take care of each other. And then you add T.J. Woods into the mix, and I think he's able body, but he's willing to do whatever we ask him to, and such a great teammate for our guys. I'm so proud of the way he's playing right now.
Kalani, you have more fourth down conversions than you have third down conversions over the last two games. Your thoughts on how that whole dynamic is going in terms of you can't think solely about third down because sometimes you're going to go for it on fourth and BYU does really effectively. Just thoughts on how frequently you're moving the sticks with the plays you want to see made.
Well, I think that knowing that my feelings on fourth down and that we're able to, I mean, you know how I am with it. So I think that sometimes gives a little bit of relieves a little bit of the play caller's issues. You know, when they feel so much stress on trying to get first downs and get chunk yardage, I think, you know, if we can be in a situation where I feel good about the conversion, I'm going to just go for it, man. And I think what that does is I don't know if this is a direct correlation, but it allows us to get chunk yardage because we're able to throw the ball downfield at times too. And I like that feeling. I like the system. I like the way it works. I like how it complements each other. And it's not just like we're just making these decisions to go for it and without any analytics behind it or even the feelings of what we have. And I think we're starting to understand a little bit more. I just like to see, I've said this before, let's just get it done on third down though. Like because these third downs are very manageable. You know what I mean? And, yeah. But I think we know we can lean on the fourth down conversions if we have to, but I think it would be a lot less stressful if we can just get some stuff going. And a lot of it was just, you can see, some of the mistakes that we can fix. They're so fixable, guys. And I think that'll improve it. I don't want to get so caught up on the third down conversions as much as let's just operate and let's just play clean football and everybody does their job. When we do that, good things will happen and our third down conversions will go well.
So, Kalani, at the beginning of the week, you came right out front and said L.J. Martin, Hinkley Rapati will not be available coming into this week. And you kind of put it to rest and put it to bed, and then we started talking about Miles Davis and Sione Moa and potentially taking the red shirt off Pokai Honga. Give us kind of your idea, kind of your plan going into Kansas State and prep as far as the running back room, maybe who you expect or what you saw today or kind of the angle that you're going to work with your running backs going into this week.
Well, I think we're in a situation where we have to do it by committee right now, and I'm okay with that. You know, I was so proud of the way the guys took the field, and Miles and Pokai and Sione, those guys are awesome, you know. And I mean, Pokai to get in there and be in a high-stress moment and do the trick play, you know what I mean? And it's like, it was just, Sione ran the ball. They all ran the ball really nicely and had took care of the football. And we got our yards eventually as we started plugging away. But they also did a great job in pass pro, and they did a great job catching the ball. So we've been bragging about the running back group for a while now. Just a lot of people just got to trust that we know what we're doing with the running back position. I remember nobody knew who Tyler Algier was. We found him, and we developed him and got him where he's at. And these guys are headed in the right direction. Harvey's done a great job with the running back room. A-Rod and T.J. Woods, those guys are, they're the offensive staff have done a great job with them. So I have a lot of confidence that they'll get the right guys ready.
Okay, finally, Kalani, your last two comments will be a thought about playing in Laramie and fans from both sides here and then getting into Big 12 play starting next Saturday against Kansas State.
Yeah, love our fans that were here. Amazing. The Royal Blue was out there. It was popping. And I'm just really happy to be here in Laramie. I was so happy to be here in September. I'm in shorts and a T-shirt, you know, and I'm flip-flops. I'm looking around like, this has never happened, Hans. I've never been here this much. And the drive over from Cheyenne to Laramie was gorgeous. I mean, I was like, I don't know if I appreciated the landscape enough when I was a player here.
Not a chance.
I'm sure it was beautiful in the winter as well, but like, there's just something special about being here. The fans are great. They love their team, and it's okay if they're a little mean sometimes. But the majority of them were so kind and so nice, and even after the game, they're great. And so I wish Wyoming the best of luck. It's good to be here. It brought back a lot of memories from when I played and coached against out here in Laramie. And, man, but I was so happy to see our fans just enjoying it and having so much fun. And I'm so grateful that we have a great fan base that shows up and cheers on our boys. I hope they know how much we love them. And those that are driving right now, we love you guys so much for making the trip. Thank you so much.
Hey, now it's into the Big 12 for you.
Yeah, Big 12, let's go, man. This is what we've been waiting for. We knew that there's a chance we'd be 3-0. Here we are. We're kind of looking forward to getting better. We want to play our best ball next week. I felt like we played our best ball this tonight of the year. Now we're looking to play our best ball next week against a great Kansas State team. And, you know, Chris Kleiman is a really good coach, good friend of mine. So I'm looking forward to the matchup. And I'm so excited to be back home, man. That place is going to be rocking. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Hey, Kalani, just a split second. Can you give me a Jay Hill update? Was he back to full service and full duty?
Jay was doing great. He's still in the box, which I think he likes it. It's kind of cool because he's in the box and I'm on the field and we share some notes and we talk. It's a really cool dynamic. However, he was trying to get in the dance party in the locker room. I had to grab him and pull him out and say, Jay, just take it easy, buddy.
What is he thinking, man? The running man. I know he loves it.
He loves it. He loves these boys. He loves BYU. He loves what he's doing. And I'm so happy to have him with me, man. This is so much fun.
Kalani, thank you as always. Safe travels. We'll see you next week.
Love you guys. Brother. Go Cougs. Thank you.
All right. That's Kalani Sitake. BYU 34, Wyoming 14. Head coach of the Wyoming Cowboys, Jay Sawbill, spoke with the media after tonight's game. We thank our audio engineer, Clark Jackman, for being on the scene to grab these postgame comments.
It sucks to be in the situation that we're in right now. I think, you know, I mean, there's a couple different ways to look. First of all, for us to win that game tonight, we were going to have to play at a really, really, really high level of, you know, execution all the way around. We missed a couple tackles in critical situations that allowed, you know, plays to extend, drives to extend. I think we had a couple people defensively that didn't play well in some key spots, and you know, that always hurts. And, you know, just overall, then, you know, we give up a kickoff return for a touchdown the first play of the second half. We've been good on kickoff coverage throughout the season. We had a really, truthfully, a poor kickoff on it that we then didn't do a good job of getting down the field and getting off blocks and doing the things we need to do to leverage the ball. So it's disappointing because to win that game, we didn't have margin for error, and we made too many errors that strung the game out in a way that we just were not able to win that game. And credit to them. I think they've got a really solid defense. They're big and they're physical at all the levels. And so, you know, I think that's an issue there. And, you know, I mean, look, as a team, we've got to go back and just keep working and getting better. Right now, we've lost to three teams that combined record are 8-1. And the one that had a loss was down 3 points to Oregon with 5 minutes to go in the game. You know, and we should have won that game. We blew that executionally and everything else. These other two teams, for us to beat them, we would have to be a lot better in situations. And we're not there. And so we've got to go back to work. That's what it is. And so, you know, the team is, I mean, it's not like we're coming apart or pointing fingers at anything. We all know that there are things that we have to get better at. And we also know that there are things that we're not doing well enough that we have to raise our level and do those things. And yeah, it's frustrating. I wanted to win this game more than anybody. I wanted to win this game for the fans. I wanted to win this game for the state of Wyoming and everything that way. We were going to have to play great football in order to win this game, and we didn't do it.
Jay, a lot of misfires and inconsistencies again from the quarterback. How long can you continue to stick with him?
Well, I mean, I think you got to stick with him in the fact that I think he gives us a good chance to be successful and a good chance to win. I mean, he's still got to he's got to improve. There's no doubt about it. But there's not, you know, I mean, look, we see this from a day-to-day in a practice scenario there. I think he gives us the best chance to win right now. I think he does. And the fact that, you know, I mean, like I said, we lost to two of the teams that we lost to. Probably if you said, okay, we're going to play 10 games, we might sneak a couple in. But I mean, they were better than us. You know, those two teams were. We got to execute better. But I'm standing behind him. I feel that he can. Like I said, he's going to be a good quarterback, and we've got work to do, and we've got to be better. But you know, I think to say that, hey, we're going to make a change after we lose to two teams that are in the Big 12 and that whole thing that way, I'm not ready to do that yet.
You know, you talked about what's the conversation that you guys had with your guys? You know, you're down by 10 against BYU, and you guys played hard-fought football, getting your first interception throughout the year. I mean, what was the conversation like in the locker room?
Well, obviously it was a bad one. The thing that was said was we need to go out and win the third quarter. Right? That was what we told the team. It's like whether we win it by 3 or whether we won it by 14, we need to win the third quarter to put us in a chance to then have the opportunity to win in the fourth. You could give up a kickoff return for a touchdown the first play of the third quarter. That's a gut punch. And, you know, we're in the challenge that we were going to be in, scoring a volume of points against that defense, we can't afford a special teams breakdown of that magnitude. We just can't. You can't have that happen. And like I said, when you go back through our first, you know, three games of the season, that's been a solid unit for us. Has been kickoff coverage, partly because a lot of times we didn't hit good kickoffs tonight. So I'm a little bit frustrated with that part of it, but we got to do better than that.
Yeah, just with the offense, I mean, what kind of has to change from that week going forward to kind of turn that around?
Well, I mean, I think there's some positives there to it. First of all, you know, John Mike Gillenborg played, all right? But, I mean, he didn't take full team reps until Thursday this week. So the fact that we're getting him back, all right, the hope would be that we can get him in a full dose of practice next week. You know, like I think he took 7-on-7 on Wednesday and then was running on the side with the trainers. Thursday he gets in team reps, and he wanted to go, and we played him and did that. So I think obviously getting him back to where he's going to be a viable person for us helps. You know, but I think, you know, there's some things there. Clay Nanke shows up. Makes a really nice play. Clay runs very well. He's 6'6", can catch the ball very well, is somebody that we can utilize. I thought Tyler King showed good things tonight. And again, those are things that we're going to have to build off of and do. And but we also are going to have to – we're also going to have to manage and play to a certain way. We don't have the margin for error right now of giving up a kickoff return – having some poor play at corner on a couple reps and having missing a couple tackles in critical situations. And we got the quarterback penned up on, you know, I think it was their last touchdown possession. And I mean, then he gets out because we have guys diving at ankles and things that we did a poor job in certain situations. So no, I think offensively there's some things I think that we can build on with some of the players that we're identifying. I thought Jalen Sargent showed some things tonight. We have to take the little steps, but we also have, you know, I'll be honest too, and you're standing on the sideline and you look out there and see that defense. I mean, there's some ass up there. You know, when you're looking at that front and you're looking at the way that the secondary looks and the linebackers look, it's not a bad-looking club, you know. You know, I was stood out there on that sideline at Arizona State, and there's ass at all levels. I mean, they look good. It's not a bad team. So we have to get better. But I'm also not going to just, you know, trash our whole organization because we've lost to a couple people that, you know, we needed to play perfect to beat, and then we blew execution in one other game. So,
wow. Okay, that's one way, a new way to describe what you're seeing on the other on
big defensive lineman.
Well, there you go. Yeah, Jay Sauvel telling it like it is. All right, this has been the BYU Creamery Cougar Post Game Coaches Show, brought to you by the BYU Creamery, serving sweet memories for 75 years. Which brings us to Tonight's Inside Scoop trivia question presented by the BYU Creamery. 2 half gallons of famous Creamery ice cream go to the winner each week who can correctly answer our skill testing trivia question during this portion of the program being the BYU Creamery Cougar Postgame Coaches Show. I got a question here, and all you have to do is answer it correctly and then attach to that answer the hashtag BYUCPL for Cougar Postgame Live. Hashtag BYUCPL.
You've had some doozies, so I'm excited to see what you got today.
And the first answer that crosses my timeline on my laptop with that hashtag will win 2 half gallons of famous BYU Creamery ice cream. First correct answer using the hashtag BYUCPL. Here we go. And I'm doing a much better job of this year, guys. Again, it was kind of a resolution I made. I wasn't going to make these questions up on the fly anymore. I was going to do some homework.
You're really good on the fly with these, though.
Yeah, but I think I needed to give it more effort. And so that's what I'm doing this year. All right. Here comes your question. There are two FBS teams on this season's BYU schedule against whom BYU's never recorded a win. There are also two FBS teams on this season's schedule against whom BYU's never recorded a loss. Name the four teams. The two teams they're perfect against and the two teams they're winless against. Name the four teams and use the hashtag BYUCPL when you do it. If you're right and you're first on my timeline, you'll win some ice cream on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
This is Cougar Postgame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Cougar Postgame Live is brought to you by Hyundai. There's joy in every journey. Cougar Postgame Live is also brought to you by Big O Tires. Stop by your locally owned and operated Big O Tires, the team you trust. Here's the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell.
Big O Tires Cougar Postgame Live. Go to BigOTires.com and make an appointment at one of 50 locally owned and operated Utah locations. Big O Tires, the team you trust. This is Cougar Postgame Live. Hashtag BYUCPL on the Twitter. And you had to use that hashtag to have a chance to win 2 half gallons of famous BYU Creamery ice cream. It's BYU's Creamery's Inside Scoop Trivia. The question was more of a statement. There are two FBS teams on this season's schedule against whom BYU's never recorded a win. And there are two FBS teams on this season's schedule against whom BYU's never recorded a loss. Name the four teams. And by a matter of seconds or a single second, we say congratulations to Preston and Corinne Arnold, the Arnolds. And they are a team effort on Twitter. They said correctly that BYU's never lost to SMU and Houston. Indeed, BYU's 5-0 against SMU after last week and now 3-0 against Houston. And the teams against which they've never won are Kansas and Oklahoma State. 0-2 against Kansas, 0-3 against OSU. There you go. Those are the four teams. Hands, were you all over that?
I knew it from the jump. I knew SMU because we came out of talking about that. And I thought Houston. So I think I would have had those two. I wouldn't have put the beat on Kansas. But now it makes sense. I mean, you played them both a total of 5 times?
Kansas?
0-2 and 0-3.
0-2 and 2-3, yeah. And, in fact, 3 of the games were bowl games. Kansas was the 1992 Aloha Bowl.
Okay.
2 bowl games for BYU against OSU in the 70s, then the loss to KU last year and the loss to OSU last year.
Well, I'll tell you, Kansas is looking a lot more beatable right now.
Yeah, well.
You know, coming out of this weekend and what they put together last weekend.
Don't count your Jayhawks before they hatch.
Well, and that's true, but – look, you guys know Jeff Grimes probably better than I know Jeff Grimes, but they are not happy with his offense right now with the talent that he's got in front of him and what they've been able to put together.
Hans is from Weezer, Idaho. There's a fellow from Weezer, Idaho. He's at Cougar Sasquatch on Twitter, and he tends to join us every week. And his offering tonight says, "The ice cream will melt before I can get it. I can find a cow to milk and get sugar from the sugar factory in Nampa and make the ice cream." Go Cougars.
He's got a point.
Yep. So he's okay. He doesn't need to compete for the ice cream. He can do it himself.
He can absolutely make it himself. I've had a couple of people ask me how many miles Mitch did on the treadmill this morning.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I've had a couple of people. How many miles did
there's
you
an answer.
Do?
But yeah, and by the way, he was back on the treadmill this morning.
Okay, so you
and
were.
He only did
18.
Oh, wow, shoot.
It's a taper week.
It's taper down week. 18. What, how was that an hour and 42, 2 hours and 20 minutes?
No. It was 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
He's got the St. George Marathon 3 weeks from today.
Yep.
Right? So that's the taper day, only 18 on the treadmill. I can't even. I did my typical three, right?
Yeah.
I'm a three-mile-a-day guy. I'm like a 5K a day keeps the doctor away kind of guy. So I did my 3 miles, and I was grinding it outside on the mean streets of Cheyenne.
You did it on the countryside, huh?
No, I did it right in the downtown core.
Oh, okay.
Cheyenne.
You were in the metropolis. That's,
yes, indeed.
That's the place to do it.
Yep.
Well, good job, Mitch. Way to stay true.
Thanks, Hans.
He doesn't say good job, Greg.
Way to keep the doctor away, Greg.
No, it's not worth it. 5K is not worth the kudos. It's just not. All right, 34-14, BYU over Wyoming. You've heard from the players. You've heard from a couple of coaches. You've heard some spicy language.
Definitions of bigger linemen.
Yeah. Appreciate you, Jay Sauvel.
Yeah, that was great.
That was fantastic. All right. Okay, where do we go with this? I say we go right into Big 12 play. How big is next Saturday going to be? 8:30, which is a 9:30 Kansas State Wildcat body clock time. These guys are going to kick off their game at 9. They're probably not used to kicking off games at 9:30 p.m.,
yeah.
But they're going to do that in the altitude at a sold-out Lavelle Edwards Stadium, 3-0 BYU, 3-0 nationally ranked Kansas State. We've had those special nights in the building, whether it's a Utah game on the weekend where BYU was announced to the Big 12, or Baylor, or Arizona State, where all the fall starts are coming. Late-night games at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. And I'll bring up the fact that BYU is 22-3 in its last 23-3 in its last 26 night games now. Something special about the nighttime, and now the late, late night game at Lavelle Edwards Stadium with as much going forward as BYU has for right now. I can't wait for it to get here, and K-State, they'll probably bop up a spot or two in the top 25, closer to number 10 maybe this week after just dismantling ranked. Arizona was ranked going in.
Oh, yeah.
Dismantled Arizona. So what a buildup we're going to have over the next 6 days to get ready for BYU football as the Cougars open their second season in the Big 12. Last year's Big 12 opener was a loss at Kansas. This year's Big 12 opener is home to Kansas State.
Well, I cannot wait. That is going to be such an incredible game. I can't wait to jump into the film of Kansas State and get to know Avery Johnson just a little bit better, get to know this run game a little bit better. It is former Utah State head coach Matt Wells as the quarterback's coach. He's working personally with Avery, and I know he's very well put in on the play call. So somebody that I'm very familiar with and somebody that can really run an offense. So I'm excited to jump into that end of things. But I look at that Kansas State game and the importance. It's important, in my opinion, it's important that BYU compete. That they absolutely compete, because there were aspects of that Kansas game that felt like there wasn't a lot of competition. You know, pick sixes and big hits for fumbles, for scoop and scores. And it was like you had this big buildup, this big 3-0 buildup, and then the big bubble popped. I just want to see great level of competition against Kansas State so that I can feel confident that I can circle three wins and say, all right, at the minimum, the three of us get to be back together on the road at a bowl game somewhere, living it up, loving life, and calling a bowl game. Like, that's what I want in year number two. And I want to be able to come out of that Kansas State game and circle three, Baylor, Arizona, or Kansas, or Houston, and say, it's on.
And isn't it interesting, and we're going to get to Mitch's first thoughts on the K-State game here, but Chase Roberts volunteered the fact that this year's 3-0, he doesn't feel, is last year's 3-0. Because, yeah, they were halfway to bowl eligibility in September last year and only found two more wins the rest of the way. But Chase said, this is a different 3-0 is what he said. It's a different 3-0, and I believe it. And now we get a chance to see it over the next couple of months if they can find three or more wins to get back to the postseason, because they've started the very same way but with a different feel. As I toss to Mitch, we'll tell you this. Avery Johnson gets a lot of attention for the running, and I'll give you a number in a second. But as a passer, through three games, he's 152.2 in pass efficiency.
Woo.
Six touchdowns to a single pick, 64%. Like, he's been good. He's not overpowering. It's 163 yards a game.
Yeah,
but when he throws, it's effective, it's efficient. And now the running. There are three Wildcats who have 15 or more carries on the year, and their yards per rush number are 6.6, 6.7, and 9.2. As a team, K-State's running at 7.0 yards per tote. They step up in class to the BYU Cougars next week. Mitch, your thoughts?
I mean, that's going to be a test, a big-time test. And earlier we talked about the late kick for the 9:30 body clock. I don't know if you ever played hands in the 8:15 games, but
no, I don't think I ever played that late.
I feel like we had the 8:15. It was 8:15, so I don't know why this one's 8:30.
Well, I'm actually glad they do, because 8:15 was never 8:15. It was always 8:20, which became 8:25. I'm glad they're starting it. They're saying it's an 8:30 game. It's what it basically turns out to be.
Yeah, but I mean, we did it a number of times, and I still could never just get used to how much downtime and there was during the day, and there was so much anticipation, because you think like, oh, I got a game today. I wake up in the morning, and your mind's getting right, but you got to like prep yourself, and it takes a lot of practice to figure out how to mentally and physically prepare for such a late game, as well as diet and nutrition. And it can be a challenge. So, I mean, we'll see what that brings for Kansas State coming in. The Rock always comes alive at night.
Yeah.
And you add on, it's a whiteout, right? Or no?
I think it is.
I think the fans are wearing white. You put on the bright lights, everyone in the stands wearing white. It's going to be an incredible energy in the stadium. But it's going to be a test. And I've been incredibly impressed with Jay Hill and this defense and being able to stop the run. When you pull in a dual threat quarterback like Avery Johnson, there's going to be a lot to pay attention to and focus on. And I just hope that what we've seen so far and what I've been so impressed with really on both sides of the ball, there's more discipline, more accountability. You can totally see it from this year than last year, whether it's because they know the scheme better, they're more confident because they know the scheme. There's a lot of depth and talented depth that you can, I mean, you can shuffle guys, and it's not like you're taking a significant step backwards by putting in a new guy from the previous year. And so I do, to the comments about, you know, being a different 3-0 than last year, it does feel that way. But I guess we'll find out here next week when it kicks off.
Okay, so a couple of thoughts just from my point of view with Kansas State, what they are, who they are, and what BYU is going to see and what I expect. Well, we've got two sample sizes, really. I'm going to throw out tonight because I just don't – the whole style, the whole offensive style of Wyoming just doesn't fit something that I actually chart or would consider to thinking anything this defense is, what they were against them. I am going to take Southern Illinois and SMU. Southern Illinois had a quarterback that went for 120 or 115 rushing yards. This defense goes back to the drawing board, and they're like, well, that's not going to happen. Well, Kevin Jennings is a very rushing-capable quarterback, and they held him to 38 yards on 9 carries. So I know that when they focus on it, they're very capable of taking it away. 77 yards rushing tonight, and they took a lot of Svoboda away. So I think that they're capable of game planning towards it, making sure that the lanes are shut down, making sure they're not getting overly aggressive in the rush on Avery Johnson. You know the way you got to attack Avery Johnson. And I saw it put into work against SMU. And I believe that there's portions of it that we could see work against Kansas State.
Mm-hmm. It'll be 3-0 versus 3-0.
Yeah, and, you know, Kansas State's history with BYU is a lot of fun, too. I mean,
Lavelle Edwards' first ever win came in his first ever game as head coach and was against Kansas State.
I had no idea.
1972.
I had no idea. I just remember going out to that 1996 Cotton Bowl, and that Kansas State team was so good that year. And I remember just game week preparations, looking at their speed and thinking, this team is just lights out. I've had a lot of respect for Kansas State ever since then. That was a really good team.
We saw a little bit of history tonight, the kind of history that hasn't been made in a long time. It had been 10 years since BYU last returned a kickoff return for a touchdown, and that was Keelan Marion tonight. Adam Hine last did it against Virginia back in 2014. And Keelan officially, you can't go more than 100, obviously, right? Officially, it's a 100-yard kickoff return, but it came out of the end zone. It's more like 102, 103. The last 100-yard kickoff return came from James Dye back in 1996. So 28 years since that had last happened.
So I have a fun fact about that Virginia game in 10 years ago where Adam Hine returned the kick. That game was my first career touchdown.
Okay.
Yeah, I caught on a scramble play. Taysom rolled out, booked it up the sideline, and caught my first touchdown pass.
Attaboy. In that game. So you were a part of the 10-year game. I was a part of the
28 years.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, the details on how many years. I don't think.
That was a sunny Saturday afternoon at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, that Virginia game.
Yeah. Oh, James Dye was so good. The kick and die, or the punt and die.
You punt, you die.
Oh, it was so good. And he has remained one of my favorite teammates all time. James is just one of a kind and a very special person. And he was a special returner. Was he not a Utah State transfer, Greg? Was James Dye, he was at Utah State?
I think he was at Utah State before he came to BYU.
I thought he was one of those early transfers that we just didn't see much of, but love James.
Matt Woolley on the Twitter, hashtag BYUCPL, says, hands against SMU. You mentioned that previous teams have had success with quick slants, and BYU didn't. Tonight, outside runs, and BYU did not. Did that concern you at all?
Yeah, it does. And Kalani was talking about how they were packing the box, and they were packing the box. They were stacking, and they were keeping six and seven in at all times, and I thought that they'd be able to get out to the outside, but that's got me worried a little bit, because why can't Miles Davis get out to the outside on some type of quick pitch or some type of slant getting really downhill? Why didn't we see it from Sione Moa? I would challenge people to go back and watch the Idaho game. Or go watch the Arizona State game and see how many slants they were able to get to the outside and how many yardages they were able to get to the outside. So I was kind of bummed that I didn't see more outside work and more yardage on the outside. But it's not like they focused on that. I mean, guys, they came right out of the gates firing it at Chase Roberts on the outside. You know, I think that their thought was, yeah, we're going to hit the outsides. We're just going to do it through the passing game. But I would have liked to seen a running back show me blazing speed to get out to the numbers and be able to turn the corner. But we didn't see it.
By the way, Wyoming was the opponent the first time I called the BYU football game. It was in 1996. Paul James had his heart issues, and he had to miss the WAC championship game of 1996.
Oh, okay.
So they put me in his spot, and I got to call that one game, and it was against Wyoming.
Was that in Vegas?
It was in Vegas.
Yeah.
The next game was against Kansas State. It was the Cotton Bowl. So same order, Wyoming, K-State here, back-to-back. That was my first play-by-play call. I'd never done a football game in my life. I had just started doing basketball because Paul was on the mend after the heart issues, and so I got to fill in for that one game.
What were the two outcomes?
Overtime win and then a win.
And a win.
Yeah.
Huh.
I think 2 3-point wins.
Well, it'd be nice just to replay history.
Yeah, back-to-back Ws. So, yeah, back in the day, 1996. Bryant Walker tweets in, hashtag BYUCPL. I'm from Weezer as well, he says, and I won ice cream last year. It came still frozen, so I have faith in Greg. Never fear.
Order it. Let it be sent to Idaho. It'll find its way.
We've got a lot of Weezer.
Apparently, most of our listenership is centered in Weezer.
Well, here's the deal. People in Weezer just stay up late. That's the deal. Our listenership, they're just going to hang out with us until the late evenings. And I know Weezer people. They like to get off those fields, and they like to come in and listen a little BYU football. So we appreciate you out there.
Hashtag BYUCPL. It's BYU Cougar Postgame Live. Greg and Hans and Mitch up in the broadcast booth here at War Memorial Stadium. There was a final score tonight of 34-14, BYU over Wyoming. 10 straight wins over the Cowboys in this rivalry that will be again go dormant. We don't know when it will ever be played again.
Hey,
yes,
Greg, I wanted to ask you about BYU interceptions because...
BYU interceptions?
Yeah, because we're now seeing... It's racking up. I don't know how many consecutive games we've got with an interception at this point, but you go back to last year with a couple of players with four interceptions, and I think they were in the top 20 in the country in interceptions, and this year feels like every game there's an interception, another one.
Jacob in the first game, Mark Collins in the second game, Evan Johnson. These are corners. These are corner interceptions too.
I think we're starting to rack up picks, and it's almost getting to the point where you're counting on – at least one, if not two, interceptions from this defense. I just love what I'm seeing defensively from the turnovers, forcing the turnovers.
Patrick on Twitter, X, sorry, says, next week against K-State, what are you most confident in and what concerns you the most about this BYU team going into the game?
Run game concerns me the most.
Run defense?
Nope, the run. BYU's run game, because if that stalls out, I wonder if Kansas State's got the athletes to stick and jive with a guy like Chase Roberts and Keelan and those guys. You got to have the run game. And I don't know if Jake Retzlaff can give you a 65 or 75 against Kansas State. So I'm concerned about the run game. The thing I feel most confident about? I feel pretty darn confident about this defensive front. Blake Mangelson is held in there. John Nelson is held in there. We've seen great stuff by Tyler Batty. Another really nice performance tonight by Isaiah Banya when he was out there. So
Jack Kelly's so good on the pass rush.
Kelly. Yeah, Jack's great. Yeah. So I'm feeling more and more confident. I would say that the defensive backs, because we were just talking about how great they've been, but I know Kansas State, so they've got some burners. But I feel better about the defensive front.
I'm going to go to the secondary and throw them into the mix. Five PBUs tonight, three from Jacob Robinson, two from Therrien Alexander, and the pick from Evan Johnson.
And Jacob almost had that pick.
Yes.
And then who was it?
Mark Collins almost had a couple.
Was that off the deflection?
Oh, no, that was Alexander.
That was Alexander.
Okay.
Yeah. Leading tackler tonight as a reserve, Raider DeMooney. He might have seen some action. Was Raider getting starter reps tonight, or was he more?
No, he got in at the
end. Yeah. Four solo stops for Raider. Harrison Taggart, three tackles of his four total, including a TFL. TFLs tonight for Taggart, Glasker, Batty, and Kelly. And Kelly had the lone sack on the night.
All singles? All one TFL?
Yeah.
No, so nobody had multiple?
No, there were four TFLs total, one sack, one pick, five PBUs.
One thing I want to call out just as we look to the
K-State.
What worries me about the K-State game, the one thing that I hope that they can pull together, because they were great game one and game two, and again, this could have been a ref situation. I know, Hans, you didn't agree with a lot of the holding calls, but if they start to get sloppy with some of these penalties in a game against Kansas State, it could be a lot more costly, obviously. Like, I go back to the touchdown that was called back. That wipes a touchdown off of the board. If you're taking points off the board in a game against Kansas State, those could be huge momentum swings in a crucial game that could potentially go all four quarters and get really competitive there. So definitely want to see on both sides of the ball, as well as special teams, be disciplined, control what you can control and stay within your, I mean, don't no taunting penalties, no dumb things that would just cost or give obviously the opponent the advantage. If they can play a clean game, I think you're going to, and then be disciplined, assignment sound, I think you give yourself a chance to really compete and get a win.
All right, Big O Tires, Cougar Post Game Live will continue from Laramie. One more segment of the show. We're past midnight in the Mountain Time Zone. 12:18 is our time on the clock. Greg and Mitch and Hans upstairs. Hashtag BYUCPL if you want to give us discussion topics on the X Machine. Hashtag BYUCPL. Sean Nielsen says, if the late-night victory meal options in Dallas were tough.
Oh, boy.
I shudder to think what late-night Laramie will offer.
Mitch is on it, though.
We may soon find out.
Mitch is on it.
By the way, it feels like only yesterday we were trying to find somewhere to eat in Dallas. It was 8 nights ago. We ended up in an In-N-Out. We thought we were going to Denny's, and then In-N-Out was there, and like a beacon, you know, it just kind of draws you in like a moth to the flame. There we were.
And it turned out well.
Along with a lot of other people. It's crazy how busy In-N-Out can be at midnight, isn't it?
Yeah.
But there we were. That was last week, though. Who knows what happens tonight? We're going to find out shortly, for sure. All right, hashtag BYUCPL. BYU defeats Wyoming. 34-14 is our final score on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Let's rejoin Greg Wrubell and Hans Olsen for more Cougar Postgame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
The final, BYU over Wyoming. Cougar Postgame Live, Big O Tires, Cougar Postgame Live. Hashtag BYUCPL on Twitter / X at Cougar Stats. Cougar Stats chiming in, saying, in his opinion, the biggest defensive stat of the year so far is defensive pass efficiency.
Oh,
BYU's held all three opponents in the 70s. Indeed.
Ooh, that's one, really good.
Game 1, 77.2. Game 2, 75.3. Tonight, 74.3. Meantime, BYU was well north of 150 tonight, so that'll certainly get the job done. Wow. Thank you for Cougar Stats. From Cougar Stats, he also said, by the way, you said how many games in a row has it been? It's been 4 games in a row that BYU's had at least one pick, the Oklahoma State finale last year, and then all first 3 games this year.
Very good.
So hey, very good.
39% completion percentage from Svoboda.
That's what... Oh,
9 for 23 is 39%.
Hey, Mitch,
he was at 41% coming into the night.
Yeah.
Hey, Mitch, I wanted to ask.
And so they ended up making him 14 for 32. By the way.
Oh, I'm looking at the wrong sheet.
Yeah. So he ended up being 44%, slightly over his season, but either way, under 50.
Mitch, I wanted to ask you. I've got a couple concerns. Logan Lutui, he went down for a minute on the field, and he was able to get up. Isaiah Banya, he worked his way over to the tent, and I don't know the full extent of that. And then I also wanted to know, Keanu Hill, what did you see from those three? Keanu after the shot, what have you seen from those? Because you need all three of those guys next week.
So Keanu Hill was, I mean, he went into the tent. They were obviously, my guess is they were testing him for concussion-like symptoms.
Yeah.
When he came out, at that point the game was out of hand already, so it wasn't like even if he could go. I mean, I think I'm not that concerned. I'm sure we'll hear more, obviously, if he starts practicing and is fine, but he was holding his helmet. They didn't – typically, if you cannot go back into the game, they will take
good observation.
Your helmet
yes.
Out of his hands. It was still in his hands. And he looked fine on the sideline. He was laughing and joking with his teammates. So I don't see any concern with Keanu Hill's health going into next week, but I'm sure it'll – I mean, if any head injury, if that's what it is always going to be closely monitored on a day-to-day basis.
What about Logan Lutui?
I didn't see anything specifically with him.
Because he got up, right, Greg? He got up after he was down. He got up.
Yep. Got off on his own.
Got off on his own.
Yep, and then you mentioned Isaiah Banya went into the tent for a little bit. He finished out the game. He was on the field when the twos and threes
all the way to the back end.
All the way to the end. And so, I mean, he appears to be just fine as well. If there was a concern, I definitely don't think – I mean, he wouldn't have been in there in kind of that, if you want to call it garbage time. So I don't think there were too many big injuries there.
Maybe the last comment from X will come courtesy of Logan Baker, who says, overall, this is his comments, overall, I feel like the play calling tonight was the best of the season so far. He said, I'm interested to hear the thoughts from Hans and Mitch on the play calling selections.
I thought it was great. Yeah, I thought that the flea flicker was a nice touch. I would have liked to seen maybe a little bit more ground attack to the outsides. If Kalani talked about forcing it to the inside, I think you got to give the offensive lineman the opportunity to throw a couple of punches, which they did do that. I loved that they got it into the playmaker's hands early. You know, if I see another game where it's Chase Roberts, two or three receptions, Darius Lassiter, one or zero, and, you know, you're starting to see the big playmakers that aren't targeted, it's like, wait a second, go back and rework that game plan. That's got to be in those playmakers' hands. And it was better tonight, I thought, Mitch.
Yeah, I did too. I liked what they did. I liked the focus to get the ball to those key players. I also liked, I think coming into the game, especially as they stacked the box, it was going to be tough to have a ton of ground success, especially with LJ Martin Hinkley out. So I liked that they utilized Jake in different ways to start to pick up some of the rush.
Yeah, footage. Yeah.
To run for 60 plus on six carries, there were some big time, wide open lanes for Jake to take off. Some of them one of the big ones was a scramble, but the others looked like very called runs for Jake. And I think that's a wrinkle that having his ability or Jake's ability to utilize his legs, if the run game is a little bit hard to get going, I think is a huge asset and can open up a lot in other ways from the run game and the pass game. And so I thought they leaned on that pretty well and used his legs advantageously.
I did too. I liked it. And then, Greg, you remember in the first quarter we were talking about the Wyoming defense rotating five, bringing six. And I was talking about some of the routes that should open up in regards to what they were doing with the blitzing.
Mm-hmm. And they were changing their – you said they were changing their look.
They were changing their look. They were rushing five. They were rushing six. And I said that should open up things in the middle, and that's where you saw that drag route by Keanu Hill that walked in for a touchdown. Perfect play call based off of defensive identification. Knowing that they brought six and they ran off the other defenders, and Keanu Hill's running across the middle of the field wide open on a drag, and it's easy dump, easy walk in for a touchdown. I love those types of things where coordinators see and understand it, and they're not getting caught in the big picture of everything, but they see in that moment that's what we need to do to try to draw those defenders back and keep the blitz back, because the blitz was getting there. It was causing problems. It was shutting down the run. And those types of things, I love that. So, yeah, I was very happy with what I saw.
Well, BYU fans have to be happy with the outcome of the last 2 weeks. Back-to-back away games in the non-conference. A couple of wins going to 3-0, heading into Kansas State at home next Saturday night. It will be 8:30 Mountain Time, 6:30 pregame for the radio for BYU and K-State. They will bring the Wildcats to town for the first time since 1977, I do believe. And they will meet for the first time since 1997 in that Cotton Bowl game down in Dallas. That's next week. BYU and K-State. As for tonight, Cougars defeat Wyoming by a final score of 34-14. Let's wrap it up from War Memorial Stadium. Our thanks to the crew back at BYU Radio. Our control board operator, Seth Larson. Engineer, Barry Squires. Coordinating producer, Terry South. Scoreboard host, Jason Shepard, here in Laramie. Our broadcast engineers, Clark Jackman and Doug Olson. Our spotter, Mr. Jake Murphy. Appreciation goes out to the BYU Athletic Communications staff on the football side, Duff Tittle, Kenny Cox, and Brett Pine, of course. So thanks to all those folks and all the postgame players and coaches that joined us, becoming part of our broadcast. Before we leave, Hans, quickly revisit your three keys.
Yeah, the three keys.
Okay, number one was get your playmakers on the edge.
Yep. Exactly.
Okay.
First one was getting the playmakers on the edge, and they did that through the passing game.
Number two, don't stop on carries, meaning Wyoming ball carriers. Don't drop off them.
Yeah, and also, anytime BYU was carrying, I wanted them to break the tackles because Wyoming is not a good tackling team. So keep their legs chugging.
That was more of an offensive thing for BYU then.
Yes.
Don't stop on carries.
I wanted to see the yards after catch and the yards after contact.
And number three was don't overlook the Cowboys.
Yeah, absolutely. Come out firing. And I thought that they did that. I thought they came out and they fired early, and I really liked it. You know, the last thing I want to tell BYU fans, because Chase Roberts brought it up. I thought you did a great job asking the question. Does this feel like a hollow 3-0, kind of like last year ended up being? I just don't feel that way. You know, we did this in the pregame. You asked the question in the pregame, what gives you confidence that this that there's more stability and more belief in this? And there's I could name five or six things where you've got second-year defense and the things that I mentioned in the pregame. I feel much better about this 3-0 team. I feel much better about their understanding of Big 12 play and what they need to do, the depth they got to have, the things they got to do in run-stop defense. And there's no options. So I believe very much that this is a better and more real 3-0 than it was last year. Absolutely believe that.
And I also like the fact that BYU gets to open their second Big 12 season at home and not on the road. They'll have an edge next week. A few points, will have to be the edge playing at Lavelle Edwards Stadium on a late Saturday night. Because when that game time came out, you know, the first thing Wildcat fans were doing was like, we're kicking off at 9:30?
Oh, man.
Just not a thing they're used to. Whereas BYU is like 8:30, well, let's go. Do it all the time. Yeah. All right. For the gentleman to my left.
Hans Olsen.
Gentleman to my right.
Mitch Juergens.
Marathon man. My name is Greg Grubel. Thanking you for tuning in. Final score, BYU 34, Wyoming 14. We're already 25% of the way through the regular season. Wow, that went quick. Back with you next week, 6:30 radio pregame, 8:30 kick, Cougars and Wildcats, catfight at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Be there. Till then.